Good morning, and a very warm welcome to you as we gather together for worship. It's a week after Easter, and we continue the celebrations of our risen Lord. And so we're going to light the peace candle. After that, we will then sing together, Christ the Lord is risen today. And so we light the peace candle as we say together the prayer for Africa. God bless Africa. Guard her children, guide her leaders, and give her peace, we pray. Amen. So we join together in prayer. Let us pray. As we've experienced this past week, Lord, we have been reminded again and again that you are risen, that you are present, that death could not hold you. And so, Lord, as we join together for worship, we come with the expectation of meeting with you, of knowing that you're with us, wherever we are, however we're viewing this video. We know, Lord, that you are present with us. And so it is in this moment, Lord, that we give you all the glory as we turn our worship towards you. May we keep our eyes focused on you. May we keep reminding ourselves that you are present. For you are the risen Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, as we read scripture, we pray that you would open our hearts to receive your message today. We would pray, Lord, as we reflect on that, we would hear what it is you're saying to each and every one of us. And as we respond, so it is our prayer, Lord, that all that we do would bring glory to you. Amen.
Our reading for this morning comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. Jesus appears to his disciples. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands, and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me." May God bless his reading to us. Amen.
I'm not so sure that Thomas was so much a doubter as he was a realist. It seems almost as if Thomas didn't want to believe what seemed to be too good to be true, until he'd seen Jesus himself, until he'd felt and seen the scars. As much as he'd heard the testimony from his fellow disciples. So I don't think it was so much he didn't have faith. In fact, in some ways, Thomas had more faith than the other disciples. Earlier in the gospel, we read that Jesus, when he was arrested and the Pharisees had threatened to stone him to death, and Jesus had announced that he was going to Jerusalem, and so he told the disciples, it's Thomas in John chapter 11 who says, "Well, let's go with our Lord. Let's go with him and even die with him if need be." That's faith. When Jesus appeared to the disciples on that evening of resurrection day, Thomas was the only one who wasn't there. Why would Thomas not be with the group? Why would Thomas be out on his own? I often wondered why Thomas missed the Bible study meeting that Sunday night. Maybe Thomas just wanted to be alone. Maybe, and I think this is my best guess, Thomas was a realist. And so for him it was pretty clear. The fact is that the game was over. The Pharisees had won. Jesus had been killed. Jesus was dead. And there was nothing more left to do. And so as he figures all that out, I guess there's no life beyond following Jesus because Jesus is dead. How do you follow somebody who's not alive? And there's also maybe some other issues. Why did Thomas come back to the group the next week? It had to be that some of the disciples had gone out to find Thomas, told him what had happened, and brought him back to the group. They'd seen the resurrected Lord, and so they wanted to share it with their friend. They shared the good news with Thomas, and Thomas's faith had flickered, and his friends had brought him back into the group. Somewhere, I guess, in that there is a sermon all about how we should be reaching out to those who are maybe inactive in our church, those who've maybe drifted away. But maybe we should save that for another time. Because today is 8 days after the resurrection. The disciples, with Thomas this time back in the group, are remembering the last time that they saw Jesus. And in our scripture reading, I was struck by these words, "Peace be with you." Jesus said those words 3 times in the text that was read. And each time it infers a different kind of peace. Firstly, we have saving peace. This is the peace that rescues. The disciples had shut the doors for fear of the Jewish authorities or that they might become the next victim, but they were fearful and so were behind locked doors because they didn't want the same thing to happen to them that had happened to Jesus. And it's behind these locked doors in that upper room when Jesus is suddenly present with them. Now, I'm not sure if their fear vanished in that moment or suddenly their fear just changed, because this was totally out of the normal. None of them had experienced this before. As Jesus is suddenly standing in front of them, can you imagine the questions that were going through their minds? How can this be? Where did he come from? What's all this about? But there's also the fact that there's the realization of victory. The death had not won. The Pharisees had not won. Jesus was alive and Jesus was present in the group. There is a peace that is surreal when the darkness of disaster and defeat are replaced by the morning light of victory. Their fear changes into a sense of victory. When Jesus said, "Peace be with you," what he was really saying is, "I am with you. I am your victory. I am your peace. I am here to save." We are saved through this Jesus who was raised back to life. Even the name Jesus means God saves. This is saving peace. That brings us to our second phrase, sending peace. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." The Father sent Jesus into the world to seek and to save the lost. That's us. That's all sinners. Jesus told the disciples that he also tells us that in the same way as the Father sent him, so the Father sends us. Jesus sends us out on a mission to save others. Not that we do the saving, but we are to go out to others. It's a sending peace. Isn't that what the disciples did for Thomas? They went out and found him and brought him back to the group. Maybe that's what we're called to do about reaching out to those around us and bringing them into our church, into our group. The story is told of a very frustrated woman who all she wanted was peace for the world. All she wanted was peace in her heart. But the world just seemed to be so messed up, so falling apart. When she looked at the news, when she looked at her news feed, she saw what was on social media, she just got more and more depressed and more frustrated. One day as she was walking and she came across a shop and she wondered, well, that was a new shop, and she wandered into the store, and to her surprise, she saw Jesus behind the counter. I don't know how she knew it was Jesus. Maybe he just looked like Jesus, however Jesus might look. But she finally got up the nerve and went and said, "Excuse me, but are you Jesus?" "Yes, I am," came the answer. "Do you work here?" "No, I don't work here. I just own the store." Well, what do you sell in this place then?" "Well, we sell just about everything here." "Feel free to walk around. As you walk around, look at the labels and make a list of what you would like and then come back. And we will make sure that we get those things for you." And that's exactly what she did. She began to wander through the store and began to look in amazement at what was on the shelves. Peace on earth. No more war. An end to drugs. An end to poverty. Peace in families. The beginning of harmony. An end to addictions. Clean air. Careful use of resources. She was writing furiously. Her list was growing and growing and growing. When she eventually got back to the counter, Jesus took a look at the list, skimmed through it, and smiled. "No problem," he said. He disappeared behind the counter and picked up a whole lot of little things and then laid them out in front of her. All little packets. "What are these?" she asked. "These are seed packets," he said. The woman then said, "What do you mean seed packets? Aren't you going to give me the final product?" And Jesus replied, "No, this is a place of dreams and prayers. You come and you see what it looks like, and then you give and you receive the seeds. You go and plant the seeds. You nurture them. You help them to grow. You feed them. And then someone else reaps their benefits." "Oh," the woman said. Surprised, she left without taking or buying any of the seed packets. Sometimes it's easier for us to dwell and to pray on saving grace and saving peace. But we're not so sure about sending peace. Sending peace compels us to go out, to reach out. Sending peace calls us to share the gospel, to plant the seeds, to nurture those seeds so others can benefit. But Jesus said one more piece. He said it one more time. Thirdly, symbiotic peace. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." This is a whole week later, after he'd first met the disciples when Thomas wasn't with them. But this time Thomas is with them. Thomas may have felt pretty second class as a disciple, because he wasn't there the first week and Jesus hadn't appeared to them throughout the week. But this was 8 days later. Jesus had come back and he spoke the same wonderful word to Thomas as he said, "Peace." We all come to Jesus at different stages in our lives. We've all had different walks, different backgrounds, different upbringings. But God's peace is still his peace. His peace is available to all of us, wherever we are and wherever we come from. Symbiosis is defined as a cooperative, mutually beneficial relationship between two people or groups or things. To be symbiotically peaceful is to get along with each other. It is the strength of community. It's the kind of love that God planned for us. It's the kind of relationships that keep us bound together. And as that binds us together, we are to be speaking God's peace. One of my most challenging verses for me in all of Scripture comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And it simply reads, "Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody." Three times, Jesus said peace to his followers. Saving peace, that covers our sins and saves us. It's reconciling us back to God. Sending peace, it's the commission for us to go and to bring people to Christ, to bring people into the church so that he can give them saving peace as well. It's about rescuing others. And then symbiotic peace is what holds us all together in a bond of Christian community. It is in that selfless love of God we are called to share in community. Together, this saving, sending, and symbiotic peace is the whole point of Easter. Jesus saves us. He sends us together. Jesus saves us, sends us together. Let us pray. And so, Lord, as we hear your words again, peace be with you. May we know those words are spoken to us. May we know the sense of saving peace. You came to save us. May we hear the challenge of sending peace, that we are to go out and reach out to others with your grace, your love, your peace, and bring them back into the community so that in symbiotic peace, together, we can grow your kingdom. And so, Lord, we pray that you would lead us, guide us, and be with us in all that we do and in all that we are. Always, Lord, for your glory, may we know your peace. Amen. And so we conclude our time together as we sing together, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He lives, he lives. I know he lives, for he lives within our hearts."
Oh,
Thank you again for sharing with us. And so I pray that you would know the peace of God in the week that lies ahead. May his grace, his love, and his fellowship of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.